Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Face Off here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gabe. Gentlemen, hallelujah, college football is back.
Love it.
How about that? Hey, Rich, pretty big night last night with that Ohio State game in Minnesota, pretty good football game. But
sure
there
was.
Were 16 games last night, 8 tonight.
Awesome.
57 on Saturday. These are FBS games. And 57 Saturday. And one each on Sunday and Monday. 5 days in a row of college football because there's no NFL.
No NFL, and it is Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
And so as fans, we're going to be sending our labor. Absolutely. What a great way to start or get started in this football season. It was so cool last night to watch that Minnesota game at Minnesota with rabid fans going crazy. I love college sports so much because of that.
There's almost more games than bowl season over New Year's.
That's right.
They've decimated what we used to do as the orgy of football for a New Year's Day. But, yeah, in some pretty good games on top of the Ohio State-Minnesota game that we'll talk about in a minute. Fantastic game between Boise State and UCF. Yeah, they did a pretty good job. They got some huge games tomorrow. Alabama playing Miami, Notre Dame playing Florida State.
That's on Sunday.
I'm talking about the whole weekend.
Yeah,
Georgia playing Clemson.
Yeah.
Just some, I mean, good for them. LSU, UCLA guys, that is the sleeper game. Watch out for my Bruins.
Oh. And Michigan transfer Charbonnet, who ran for over 100 yards already
for the
Bruins.
135 yards and 6 carries.
The Bruin fans already love him and are thanking Jim Harbaugh right now.
It's not the first time that's happened. What's his name? The kid transferred to UCLA who was Fargus, Antonio.
Oh, yes,
Fargus.
Absolutely.
Had the same thing happen. You know, I always liked Charbonnet.
Yeah.
He had a good career. He just, there was too many running backs.
Yeah.
And he did have a little bit of an injury problem. Harbaugh never indicated to him that he wasn't going to play. He just wasn't going to be a star like he is. We'll see if that UCLA O-line is as good against LSU as they were last week. But a lot of people think that this Chip Kelly, this is a good Chip Kelly UCLA team. So I'm really interested to see the Bruins there. There were some question marks about what Ohio State would look like. They don't look like they changed, although the defense is very suspect.
Absolutely it is. Minnesota didn't score at will, but they scored a lot of points against that defense. But the offense against Ohio State, man,
who's that running back there?
Explosive.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
Abraham.
Abraham was the Minnesota kid.
Right.
But Ohio State, that kid should be a senior in high school.
Wow.
He's an early entry. Ohio State had like 5 of those kids.
Yeah.
I know the quarterback got all the right, but that kid is going to be getting some NIL money really soon.
Yeah, like you said, that quarterback kid that went to Ohio State, the high school kid,
Texas quarterback.
He's already signed $1.3 million in name, image, and likeness while at Ohio State.
And he's on the bench.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He may not see the light of day this year.
Well, Ohio State has some really good wide receivers, a really good offensive line, some running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Stroud looked a little shaky, looked pretty good.
For the first half.
Yeah. You know, Minnesota was supposed to have a very experienced defensive backfield, and those Ohio State receivers, Keith, were wide open all over the field.
Picked them apart, really.
Yeah.
Especially, again, the second half. It looked like C.J. Stroud was a little, maybe a little nervous or whatever. You
His
know,
first
a little
start.
Jitters.
Yeah.
But boy,
that's what I was expecting. That's why I bet Minnesota.
He wound up with 4 touchdown passes. But basically, you throw a 5-yard pass, let those guys run the rest of the way.
Exactly.
Man,
get it in your playmaker's hands. And I can't blame Minnesota. It seemed like they had the right game plan offensively. Take time off the clock. Move the chains.
Yep.
You got to pound the rock. Not let Ohio State have numerous possessions, you know. When they didn't capitalize, and then Abraham end up going down, that was kind of a turning point. And then
the turning point was the fumble that bounced right to the D lineman,
and he rumbled in for a touchdown.
It kind of reminded me of the punt that State blocked, that the ball went to the only spot where it could have been, where Michigan State could have scored. It was a turnover, legit, no problem with it, but the ball bounces right to a lineman as he's running through the line. It couldn't have been an easier play. Completely flipped the script on that game, because you're right, Rich. Minnesota was doing exactly what they needed to do. The only thing that I had a problem with Minnesota at all, other than, you know, obviously they were trying to stop the run and they had too many DBs one-on-one with Olave and those guys. That's a recipe for disaster. But I would have run – the quarterback needed to run the ball a little bit more on those on the play actions. He he was wide open if he made a credible fake.
Right. Those run option plays are absolutely – it looked like he had the entire – the ends were cheating in. The defensive ends knew they were going to hand it off to Ibrahim, and so they just cheated in every time, and it looked like the running back could have – or the quarterback could have ran for 20 yards untouched a lot in that second.
Even the announcers, Keith, were saying for – God's sake, keep the ball.
Right. Yeah, that's the read option's meant for an athletic quarterback.
That guy's a senior quarterback who's got some, you know, got a good, I don't know if he's going to the NFL, but he's a good Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah. He's going to see that on tape today and go, oh, my goodness.
It could have been the difference. And then as a gambler, I will bemoan the horrible call that happened near the end of the game. Minnesota is driving. They're down 14. There's 5.5 minutes left to go. They cross midfield.
Yeah.
They make a pass that the wide receiver got speared in the head, clearly in the head, and didn't even catch the ball. And after 10 minutes, Keith, very clearly, the football is out of this guy's hands before he hits the turf.
Yep.
They call it a fumble, and they don't call it a spear. And Ohio State gets the ball back, runs the clock.
Game over. Yep.
Just a woeful call in what really was a fairly well-called football game up to that point, if you ask me.
Right.
Yeah, and surprisingly, Minnesota was moving the ball almost
at
as
will.
Well as Ohio State was. They found a way to keep it close.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's why I said that. You know, we'll see how quickly they can shore up. You know, Ohio State. And God, I hate who's the play-by-play guy for Fox. He's a Michigan kid.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it Johnson?
Yes, it is. Gus
Johnson. He went to the University of Detroit high school, and he's a. I think he went to state. I can't remember. Anyways. He is so sensationalized. It is. He's worse than Mike Greenberg.
I like Joel Klatt as the color guy.
Couldn't agree with you more. Like Klatt.
Yeah.
And Gus Johnson is fine for basketball. But he's not fit for football.
Yeah.
He just isn't. You know, Fox is fixated on their guys, though. They like Johnson. They like Buck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
You're not going to move them off.
Yeah, you're not going to move them off. But that's the problem with Fox Sports. You know, they had to lose golf. They just got some issues, you know, because what's his name? Who's it? Rupert Murdoch. They love that sensationalized.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, but Ohio State, okay, good win for them. We'll see what they got against Oregon.
Yeah.
That's a huge game.
That'll be really good. I mean, they certainly have better skill position guys, Oregon, than what Minnesota does, so it'll be interesting matchups all along there. They have a stud defensive end. That kid, let's see if they can block him.
They'll see if, exactly, Rich. I mean, some people are saying this guy has the possibility to be in the Heisman Trophy discussion. So if he's going to be, he's going to have to wreck Ohio State at Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what really sewed up Charles Woodson's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. His best game against the Buckeyes. That was but it's good to hear defensive players mentioned for that.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got MSU Northwestern tonight. What do you like, Keith?
Well, I like what I read in the Free Press and the news. All the Detroit writers are picking Michigan State to win. I said, I want some of that Kool-Aid. I know that Northwestern has made a ton of changes. They were a good team last year, and I forgot that Michigan State beat them last year. This year, Michigan State's supposed to be a whole lot better. Northwestern has got questions on both sides of the ball. They're playing at Northwestern. Michigan State won last year. There's a revenge factor. I just don't know enough about Michigan State. Who's going to play quarterback?
Well, don't know yet. Well, you've got so many transfers. And tell me who was the star of Michigan State's football team last year. Well, you're a big fan. I mean, just tell me, did they have a stud?
No, they didn't.
I mean, what's his name? The Hayward kid.
Yeah,
is gone anyway. Right. You know, I don't know who's going to run the football. I don't know who's going to catch the football. I don't know who's going to throw the football.
That's right.
You know, you assume that State's defense should be pretty decent, right?
That's what they say.
I would take the under. Whatever this under is,
right.
That's what I would take. Because you know Fitzgerald is going to, you know, the defense will be solid.
Yes, and you mentioned before we got started here, JC, about Pat Fitzgerald teams. You know they're going to be ready to play no matter what. They're not always dynamic offensively, but defensively they're going to be solid, and they're going to be well coached. You know that going in.
And one of the defensive captains is a kid, as I mentioned to you guys last week, who went to St. Regis, played at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, and now is the defensive captain at Northwestern. He played football with Joe Coyne at St. Regis in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a great program.
Smart and a good player.
Tommy McLean has been running that. They get about 100 kids playing in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and it's a feeder school Brother Rice, for Catholic Central, Brother Rice, Orchard Lake St. Mary's, UAD, and Detroit Country Day.
Wow.
Awesome.
Massive
program.
Yeah, it's really a good program. And actually, the head coach of Detroit Country Day is the older brother of Tommy McLean, who runs this program. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Excellent.
And should be a good, you know, as it's the first game of the year, we're going to learn a lot about both of those teams. And then I think we're going to learn something about, well, we know we'll learn some things about U of M as they take on Western Michigan at noon on Saturday.
Right.
That game will be on Up North Sports Radio. They're the home of Michigan football across all four of our stations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's interesting matchups, JC. excuse me. Western's supposed to have really good receivers. And
they always do.
In years past, sometimes good receivers have done well against Michigan DBs. See how this new defense plays at Michigan. There's a lot of question marks everywhere.
We'll see how well they run the ball. Mike Hart has been crowing about this running staple. So if Michigan can open some holes, I think you're going to see a ton of pounding the ball. You know, everything that has come out in the news about Michigan has been glowing, Keith. I don't know how much of that. We've been talking about the fact that not a lot of reporters at not a lot of practices.
Mm-hmm.
So really what's passed off as news is the press conferences between the position group coaches.
It's the Kool-Aid, you know, and they're drinking it in Detroit. Michigan is a 17-point favorite. That's a lot of points against.
Minnesota is getting 13.5 from Ohio State at home. You know,
right
home. You know, it's the right line. You know, the more I gamble, the more the lines are right. It's hard to pick glaring issues in big time college sport, in football in general.
In football, In basketball,
college basketball, I think, is the easiest thing to bet. But because gambling has gotten so big and there's so much money in it, there's just more focus on everything. There's no freebies.
67 points in this game tomorrow with Michigan, 67 in the over-under?
Well,
that's
a ton of points. I mean, what was the score last night of the Minnesota
45-31.
45-31,
14 points.
So it went over.
Yeah.
The over-under of that game was 64.5, so it went way over. Because you only had 9 padded practices, that's what they get in the NCAA.
Wow.
9 padded practices. How good's the tackling going to be? How good was the tackling last night? Not so freaking great.
Not good.
Okay.
What do they have? The NFL Players Association representing the college player? I mean, holy cow. 9 padded. That's unheard of.
I'm just saying. That's what.
Yeah. That's crazy.
How many do they get in the SEC?
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how many practices happen in Nick Saban's backyard.
Right.
I remember talking about that in the UP last week when they weren't supposed to be practicing at all. And are they doing that?
Yeah.
So, a lot to be learned this weekend. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll just talk a little bit about the national schedule that we alluded to very quickly. Mm-hmm. Some really great football games to kick off a weekend that is only about college, and I really like this whole thing.
It's fun.
It's getting started like right off the bat. Boom.
Boom.
Yep.
All that and more. We've got a little league champion to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a little high school preview football, some Detroit Tigers talk, all that and more. So stay with us here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. And Petoskey and Mackinac City, I will be there tomorrow, so you can join me as we bet college football. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sports booking. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, as we said, a great lineup of games tonight. Not only is Michigan State playing Northwestern, North Carolina, who's going to have a pretty good football team this year, is playing Virginia Tech. Let's see who else. Those are really the only two great games tonight. Saturday's kind of loaded, guys.
Oh, it is. It is. Hey, you mentioned North Carolina. They're ranked number 10 in the country.
They had a great team last year.
Oh,
Well, of course, who's back at the helm there?
Yeah.
Didn't take Mac Brown.
And I'm trying to remember the name of their quarterback, but they did lose some other players, but they have the most experienced quarterback in the ACC, so that's going to account for something.
They had that dynamic duel at running back last year, kind of a thunder and lightning type.
Yeah, they got one of those guys left. You got a huge game in the Big Penn State and Wisconsin tip off the schedule at noon tomorrow. As we mentioned, Western is playing at Michigan. That Temple-Rutgers game was rained out. Did you see all the water in New York City?
Yeah.
Shut down the subway
system. All part of Ida coming up through.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see who else we got.
We got tomorrow, number 17 Indiana against number 18 Iowa. That's going to be a really good game.
Iowa, I'm not sure what Iowa's going to look like, and I was going to bet Indiana there, but Iowa's always so tough at home.
Absolutely, that's right. That's right.
West Virginia, Maryland, that'll be an interesting game. We'll see how far Maryland has come. A lot of people think, I don't know if that program's 1 year away, Rich, or not.
Right.
But the ex-Alabama O coordinator is doing a pretty good job of recruiting there.
Yeah, he really is. And again,
they got like 9 Michigan transfers.
Right, yeah.
All those good games. We had number 1 Alabama, number 14 Miami. But look at later on, 7:30 tomorrow night. Number 5 Georgia, number 3 Clemson.
Oh yeah, it's a huge game.
The loser
of that game's in trouble.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
JC, you mentioned Michigan transfer. See Joe Milton, starting quarterback for Michigan
last night.
And yes, started for Tennessee.
Bowling Green guys.
You're right.
Bowling Green.
We'll see
what Milton's got against Alabama or Georgia.
Saying he's going to be Peyton Manning in the burnt orange jerseys at Tennessee, but good start for him and Tennessee. They just need wins at Tennessee in the worst way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Purdue has got Oregon State coming in. Let's see who else. Yeah, it's a huge slate of games. When is the UCLA LSU game?
8:30
is 8:30.
Yep.
You know why I like that.
Tomorrow
either
night.
Way, LSU is ranked 16th. UCLA is unranked yet, but watch out for those guys. BYU is playing Arizona. Did you see the Big 12?
Yeah. They're trying to get
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
BYU. Houston, I can't remember who the fourth team was.
I can see Houston. Cincinnati's a good football team these days, but to imagine them in the Big 12 feels odd. But get used to it because that's what's happening.
Yep.
Was it Louisville was the fourth team? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And then Sunday you've got not too many games, which is surprising since there's no pros there. You'd think they'd be on. But Notre Dame is center stage against Florida State.
Right.
That might be my bet of the week. I like Florida State getting 7.5 at home.
Oh, you
against
do?
The Notre Dame team that lost a lot of guys.
Right.
Okay.
They're starting a new quarterback.
Right.
And they're going to introduce all this Bobby Bowden stuff down to Florida State.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think emotional game.
And Florida State should be pretty decent. So that'll be an interesting game. And then you've got I thought there was more games on Monday, Keith. I only see Louisville, Mississippi.
Right.
Florida State needs a win in the worst way. If they could somehow upset Notre Dame, that would be a big win for that program, because the last couple of, they've been really bad the last couple of years.
Yeah, they've had their issues. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, it's good to have college football back and taking center stage all throughout Labor Day weekend. I would have liked to have seen a couple more games on Monday. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a great day. They could fill up. They could have a late afternoon game and an evening game, a nice doubleheader, because people are they're tired on Monday afternoon after Labor
after
Day playing all week.
Not yeah. laboring all week. Trust me, my wife will be having me labor. I don't know. not going into labor, but oh, by the way, my daughter had her baby on Saturday.
Oh, hey, awesome. Right. Congrats.
Riley Janot. So
that's awesome.
My daughter. And, you know, Madeline, of course, went to Wisconsin. Her husband went to Penn State. And so they...
At least they kept it in the Big Ten.
It's the battle of the onesie. So the game is getting the Penn State or the Scotty onesie. So,
that's great.
Speaking of hockey players named Coyne, I'm going to speak with Colleen Coyne this afternoon and interview her. She was on that 98 gold medal team.
Right.
Her cousin, Kelsey Coyne, is the captain of the women's team that just got lost.
Kelsey or Kendall?
I thought it was Kelsey.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But they just lost to Canada again.
That's right. 3-2.
Wasn't their first loss in a long time?
USA had won 5 straight world championships, and Canada beat them in overtime. 2-0. U.S. goes up 2-0 in the first period. Worst lead in hockey. Canada scores 2 in the second and wins in overtime. Really, really good hockey game, though.
Yeah.
The rivalry continues.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, there's 2 rivalries in women's hockey, right? There's Minnesota and Wisconsin, and there's USA and Canada.
Yeah.
Kendall Coyne is right. You're
Kendall,
right. That wasn't
it. Yeah. Kendall Coyne is the one who skated in the fastest skater contest at the NHL All-Star Game and acquitted herself quite well, by the way.
Is that right?
That one can skate.
Yeah, she is. I'm almost certain she's the captain of the women's Olympic team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great, great player. And, there's a couple of decent Coyne girls. Madeline was not on their level, but, you know, we pretend that we're related. One thing, guys, let's talk about real briefly, because I don't know how much to say about Taylor, Michigan, winning the first World Series since 1959, Keith.
Yeah,
didn't you play on that team?
I remember that team. I was 9 years old then, by the way. I remember that team. No, I don't know. Petrarch was old. It came later.
Okay.
But that Hamtramck team was great. 61 years, you know, since when. But that Taylor is a baseball town. We know that. Steve Avery came from there. You know, a really good left-hander for Atlanta back in the 80s, right?
80s and 90s,
But
part of that triumvirate, Glavin, Smoltz, and Avery.
That team is so well coached. You know, I studied the roster a little bit of that Little League team.
Right.
Every one of those kids on that team is listed as a pitcher. There's a clinic. There's a pitching school in Oakland County, and all those kids go up there. Every one of them can pitch. So that, you know, that's one of their strengths. But they hit.
Yeah.
3 kids with 7 hits.
They were a
hitting
machine, yeah.
Oh,
they were.
They had 3 players with 7 hits or more, and that's as many as the other 15 teams combined.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, and their only game where they really didn't hit was Hawaii, and they just hit it right at the players, and they fielded the ball really well.
That's right.
But what a great way to win that game.
That Michigan-Ohio, and ESPN played it up, you know, the rivalry.
Of course.
The historical rivalry, the fight over the Upper Peninsula and so on, and then, you know, the Michigan kids wore blue, the Ohio kids wore red.
Of course,
and, you know, they played that up a little bit, you know, what used to be a good football rivalry, and...
game. They, you know, the bases were loaded.
Oh,
yeah.
They got out. They got us some. How about that double play they turned?
Yes.
That the kid at second base, he pitched the first 4 innings, then went to second base and turned a brilliant double play. But JC, what and Rich, what I like most? Did you watch the game? Did you see after the game? The Michigan kids are at in the middle of the infield, mobbing one another. They just won the World Series.
And the kids are on the line.
They're on the first baseline, and they're all clapping. They got tears in their eyes, but they're all saying that.
Yeah.
Those kids are extremely well coached, well led.
It was a class
that gave me chills.
Well, Michigan beat them to eliminate them from the Great Lakes.
Yes.
They were second place.
Yep.
Yes.
Ohio would not have even gotten in under the other form, the old format.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, kudos to both teams. Mm-hmm. Wonder how many of these Michigan kids from Little League are going to end up playing baseball at the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting story to follow.
Yep, it will.
It will, yeah.
Yep. Speaking of baseball, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll talk some Tigers, another Cabrera home run, a couple more hits, keeping it still interesting as he now tracks down 3,000 hits. So we'll talk about that and more sports, including the lead-up to this week's high school football games on Friday Faceoff. Here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Yeah, welcome. So maybe that combined team, maybe it isn't a combined team.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, you know, Tigers have been kind of muddling a little bit.
Kinda?
Yeah.
They've been scuffing bad. They've lost six of eight.
Well, they played two teams that are really in the playoff hunt.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Most of September, still, you've still got your Royals and...
You've got six games against the Royals of Minnesota the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You've got 18 games coming up against playoff teams.
Yeah.
You got
tough schedule.
You got three versus Cincinnati, seven versus Tampa, two versus Milwaukee, and six
versus Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. JC, they got to go 17-10 to finish 500.
Not going
to
happen.
They need to win nine of these games to even get to 73 wins, which is what I thought they could get to 74 wins. It's going to be tough.
Well, how many wins do they have right now? 61? 62.
Oh, no, 62.
All right, so they only need two wins to surpass what Vegas had on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
64.
They had.
So,
yeah.
We all knew they were going to do that.
We all predicted that they would have more
wins. As I said, Vegas doesn't throw you many chippies, but we had a little bit of inside information and a lot of inside hope.
Yeah.
So, Cabrera continues to be engaged at the plate. And what is he at? He's at 37.
He's 37 short of 3,000 with 27 games left.
Against those big teams,
I know
how much pitching he's going to see.
Yeah. It's going to be tough sledding for the team and him. But how about they hit? Matt Manning got clobbered yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Eight hits, three walks, gave up eight runs in 3 2/3 innings. They hit three home runs yesterday for the third straight game against a team that doesn't give up many home runs.
You know, a kid that's really impressed me this year is hitting Harold Castro.
Well, lately especially.
I really thought when the Willie Castro, Harold Castro thing came up last year, I thought Willie Castro was the player. He had more speed.
Mm-hmm.
He was the better hitter last year,
right.
All of that. Well, the script has flipped this year.
Yeah.
Where Harold is the better hitter, and now hitting with he's always been a singles hitter, but he's hitting with a little more power the last
power.
Week.
That home run he hit yesterday, 443 feet, the longest home run in his career, and one of the longest at Tiger Stadium.
I just wish he were a little more athletic. I wish he had Willie Castro's athleticism, then it could be the total package.
Yeah.
But Harold's certainly slower running the bases, all of that, and. But I'm happy for him, how he's hitting the ball right now.
So Cabrera had the day off yesterday.
Day game, usually.
After a night, it was
scheduled, and, you know, no opportunity really for him to come up and pinch hit. Although they were down 8-0, they came back 8-6.
Yeah.
I thought he might get a chance to hit in the ninth inning if they got anything going, but they didn't, and that was it. But something to pay attention to.
Yeah, didn't go where I wanted it to. The Reds come to town. You know,
Detroit's going to Cincinnati.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, but then again, the Pirates.
Yeah,
the Pirates stink. But the Rays are going to be tough, and the Brewers.
Yeah.
It's the thing, and then we got White Sox baseball. Yeah,
a lot of playoff teams there.
Tough sledding.
Although the White Sox might will be comfortably in by then. So
yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I'd be most worried about with the Rays, and they've got a lot of games by the Rays, is you know that the guys that the Rays brought up are all ready to play. They have the best farm system in baseball.
Yeah.
So they're auditioning for what players are going to make the playoff squad, right?
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, the Tigers got their work cut out for them. Yeah, I was kind of hoping for them to get to 500, but I'm sorry, I don't see that happening.
Well, a few weeks ago we were talking about whether they could overtake
Cleveland
for second place, and now they got to watch out because Kansas City, Minnesota are sneaking up on them.
Both of them are playing much better,
yeah,
and like
are.
You said, they're just a game or two behind the Tigers now. I saw that too, and looking at the standings, Keith, I'm like, oh no, they're breathing.
Do you think
down
it really matters where the Tigers finish? I mean,
from a marketing standpoint.
Nobody's going to the games.
No, that's true.
You know, whatever you want to say about marketing standpoint, if the Tigers really wanted to have an impact, Keith, at the turnstiles, they would have brought up Green and Torkelson.
Yeah.
By the way, Torkelson had two home runs the other Wednesday night, and Riley Green had a double and a triple.
So. That was the only way they're going to impact, unless you can guarantee that Cabrera is going to get a hit or two every home game left,
right.
And then you'll probably. But I don't see how they can do that.
And it's going to be interesting when they do bring these guys up, by the way, which I anticipate next year, because Torkelson plays first and third. Well, both of those, but you got Candelario.
Right.
He looks like he's going to be our third baseman of the future.
Yeah.
Cabrera, you're going to, you know, do that, Scope at second, hopefully, and then it'll be interesting. Do they bring Torkelson at first and then Cabrera switch out for when he rests? There's some dynamics there. Riley Green's an outfielder.
I disagree with what the Tigers are doing. I you know, when they say, no, we're not bringing those guys up, period. It's all about development. Well, part of the development is to, you know, give them a little bit of taste of the show.
They've already moved them up all. I mean, they started at A.
That's right.
A to AAA, in most instances, is a pretty big move.
No question about it. It's a huge move, really. But to come up, even if it's for a couple of weeks at the end of the season, just to travel with the team, get a taste, get a feel for it, and, you know, send them back to the minors next year and give them something to really aim for. As if they don't now, they do, but I'd like to see what they can do against Major League pitching, these guys.
So the question I have for you is, with this difficult schedule that the Tigers have remaining, let's just say, for example, that they've got 23 games left, right?
27 games left.
27.
Yeah.
If they go 6-21, okay, is this a failed season? Can the Tigers erase what we think it was a very good season for them by blowing out the last month of the season? Can it be ruined?
For me, no. I think it would be a disappointing way to end the season, but I don't think it's a failure of the season itself. I think we've seen enough of A.J. Hinch and how he manages. And look, we understand what he's dealing with here. A lot of these guys are good athletes, but may not always be really good baseball players. And so I wouldn't see it as a failure. I think the future is bright. And that's the way I would take it, but I don't know how other people would perceive it.
I agree with you. It would be a disappointing finish for sure, but too many things have gone right for this team.
Yeah.
They're gonna no matter what, 6-21 or whatever, they're still gonna surpass the amount of games that Vegas thought they could win. First of all, even if they finish last, the development of Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal and Matt Manning, to a certain extent, you know, they've had some. Spencer Turnbull, we forget about him. He pitched a no-hitter this year.
And then didn't see him.
He needs his surgery and all that. Matt Manning came back. Matt Boyd came back and, you know, pitched pretty well the other day in four innings, gave up a couple home runs. But there's a lot of good things happening. And they signed Jonathan Scope to a couple of years. I just think I'm optimistic now about the future
too,
as opposed to being pessimistic.
There was an article about Fado and his Tommy John surgery. And we, you know, hopefully he can come back. He's been talking a lot to Fulmer, Michael Fulmer, about that.
Right.
Man, they just whip out those Tommy John surgeries like they're going out of Kenta Maeda.
It's like a production line here.
Yeah,
just put them through.
Well, we got blister surgery, and we're going to give you a new elbow. It's a little bit difficult to comprehend. But just taking a step back from Tiger baseball and looking at baseball in general, you've got huge series this weekend. Yankees, Red Sox, and Giants, Dodgers.
And your Giants were on a little slide, won last night, but you're right, maybe we're kind of looking forward a little bit to that Dodgers series.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. It's happening in San Francisco, yeah. I was wondering how long the Giants could keep a little distance from them and the Dodgers. And this series in San Francisco is going to tell a lot about what's happening. I saw this thing right now. The Dodgers have an 85% chance to win the division. I'm like, wow, okay, really good for you guys.
I see, but Scherzer, pitcher for the Dodgers now, left with a tight hamstring from his start the other night.
So. Oh, that's so tough. Screw Max Scherzer. You know what I think about him.
He could be in Detroit next year.
He's not... Really?
Well, I'm joking. people are talking about bringing back Verlander and Scherzer.
Well, why not? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I believe you with
Verlander.
Yeah. Scherzer is never coming back here.
No, I agree with that.
You know, I don't know if the ownership thinks that Scherzer abandoned them when they had the last. I mean, they offered him the most money any pitcher had ever been offered in baseball, and he turned it down.
Yeah. And he got a lot more.
He got a lot more,
yeah.
and he did win that. God,
yeah, he got that
World Series. Yeah,
it makes you feel like he used the Tigers as a stepping stone to get to where he wanted to, and you know, I mean, that sense of loyalty in professional sports.
Oh, that's a long
absolutely. Time. You see it once in a while, and you appreciate when it happens. But yeah,
it's nice to hear. A guy like Robbie Grossman saying, "Yeah,
I want to finish.
I'd like to sign a contract and stay here the rest of my career." I like hearing that.
I do too.
That's good.
You know, we were talking about some weird anomalies about scheduling. Like the Tigers were done with playing the Indians before September even came around.
Yeah.
Same thing's happening with the Giants and the Dodgers. Almost uniformly, they play the last series of the season.
Right.
This is the last series between the Dodgers and the Giants. Then the Giants got the Rockies, who stink, and the Cubs, who really stink. They've got the Padres a couple of times and the Braves.
Good.
But they have a reasonably easy schedule the rest of the way.
I know.
Yeah, they got those Diamondbacks.
Well, I was going to say, everyone's lining up hoping they can switch their schedule to play the Diamondbacks the last 27 games.
Yeah, well, they don't have them 27 games. Like I said, they've got the Padres in there who are going to need to win some games because they're falling way behind. They've got to be kicking themselves for not picking up Max Scherzer. That is maybe the death knell for the Padres.
Yep. Well, they tried.
They did.
They tried.
You know, the Dodgers have the best farm system in baseball.
Yep.
So I just want to quick.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think Tampa might have a better farm system than. They're both very, very good, but Tampa just keeps churning them out.
Guys, I've never heard of it.
But here's the difference. The reason why you don't see it from the Dodgers is they keep flipping these guys for the trades, like the Tigers used to do. Okay,
yeah.
So the Rays don't do that. They get rid of the guys that are going to get paid and bring in the kids.
That's right.
So
they use them up right up until that point of arbitration and all.
The Dodgers have the Cardinals, then the Padres. They've got a little Diamondback series here. They've got the Reds. They've got the Rockies. Yeah, it's about pretty even, I would say. The Dodgers might have a slightly more difficult path to the playoffs. It's going to be interesting. Injuries are going to tell the tale. We just continue to see guys going on the IL and the COVID list in baseball.
Right.
And
by the way, are you paying attention to the Mets? What's going on? That's a total circus, by the way, between their GM, the players, thumbs down to the fans, and Lindor, who signed that $360 million contract, hitting 220 something and like 8 home runs.
I know it's not just going to the Yankees, guys.
What?
It's going to New York.
New York in general.
And you know what? Mets fans might not be as obnoxious as Yankee fans, but they are. They bleed Met blue.
Oh, they do. And they're not going to forget that thumbs down thing.
Baez was he's probably not going to get re-signed now, but they're married to Lindor.
Yes.
So, and you heard what Baez said. He goes, We never got booed in Chicago. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And you know what? In any other town, you would have been booing those Cubs after winning the World Series and then tuning in some pretty putrid performances after, you know, after winning a World Series.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I get the ruffled feathers.
Yeah.
And Lindor. I don't know. Maybe it takes a year.
Yeah, maybe.
To play in New York.
From Cleveland. I mean, he was great at Cleveland, and man, but if he doesn't rally around, that will go down as one of the all-time bad contracts.
It's a lot of money for a lot of years.
which is why, and Lynn Henning wrote about this in the news a couple of weeks ago, the Tigers better beware of throwing a lot of money at that shortstop position.
Yeah. You know, Correa.
But he's gonna get $300 million. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
I don't know how you can do
well,
that.
Well, who's he going to go? I mean, there's only a few teams that are going to throw $300 million
Detroit's
contracts
not
at him.
One of them.
No. But I'm just saying, the Dodgers are out. They don't need him.
Yeah.
The maybe the Yankees, but the Mets aren't going to. So it's either the Padres. There's only a few teams, Keith, that will be throwing around these massive contracts.
That's right.
So it's either Boston. I mean, there's only a couple of teams that Correa is going to go to. I don't think Boston would go after him. They're on the new austerity program.
Yep.
Plus, that puts him with his old cheating coach.
Yes.
True.
And I don't mind a 3 to 5 year contract at high dollar amount, but those 10 year contracts in baseball always come back to bite you. Always.
I hated them for pitchers forever, but for position players, the same way.
Yeah.
The same way. Look.
Only that I thought the Mike Trout signing, because of his age at that time, wasn't a horrible because he was so young.
But
then even now, look at he's missed most of this year.
The 10-year career that they gave Miguel Cabrera, we knew what was going to happen these last 2 or 3 years. It has happened. But is he giving the Tigers the money's worth? Probably so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Well, at least the Yankees and the Red Sox do end up at the end of the season
playing.
It's going to be.
Yeah, you got to have those rivalries to keep your interest in baseball towards the tail end or before the playoffs.
Well, they play in the last game of the season, and they the way it's scheduled right now, then they would end up playing in the one game eliminator for the wild card.
I wouldn't have either.
Unless the Rays fall apart.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know it's cool. Got a lot going on in sports, obviously. The Tigers are not going to be in this, but it's good to follow it, even though football is now consuming almost all of our time.
All things considered, JC, I think the Tigers have given us a good season. We've had a lot of good things to talk about on this show all summer long.
Certainly more interesting, and you know, all about. And the future does look brighter, and so I think more Tiger fans will be jumping in and getting on board with everything.
You know, college football is back, guys, and FanDuel Sportsbook is making Week 1 even more exciting right now. All customers get a risk-free bet on any Week 1 game. That's right, place any Week 1 bet and get a refund in site credit if you don't win. To get you started, here's what I'm taking for my Week 1 risk-free bet. As I mentioned, guys, I like Florida State getting 7.5 over Notre Dame. Sorry about that. One of the many reasons I love betting college football on FanDuel, it's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and gives you fast payouts.
Just open the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. New FanDuel Sportsbook. That's a question. New FanDuel Sportsbook. Sign up with promo code WGRY to also get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. Refund issued to non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10 unless otherwise indicated. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel.
It's time to show your pride and love for this country and those who protect it. Iron Pig Smokehouse, Johnson Propane, and Q100 invite you to join your fellow Americans at Ellison Place on September 11th for Freedom Rally 2021. Doors in the bar open at 5 along with Golf-a-Palooza and a kids' bounce house. Color Guard, taps, and a moment of silence at 5:30. We'll have an address from local hero John Turnbull, blues legend Larry McRae, and Papa Kizga will rock the stage at 7. A number of veterans assistance groups will be on hand, and the Michigan National Guard Veterans Support Grant will receive portions of the proceeds, including a rock memorabilia silent auction with items from Greta Van Fleet, Joe Bonamassa, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Ted Nugent, and more. Get tickets now at ironpigsmoke.com for $25. Veterans and first responders are only $15 and get dinner included. Make your stand for freedom at Ellison Place on 9/11, and God bless America. We're back here on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio. I just wanted to mention that Freedom Rally that's happening next Saturday at Ellison Place. We also have added a Bob Seger signed guitar that you can win in auction.
Wow.
So you got Ted Nugent, Bob Seger, Greta Van Fleet. We've got a Gibson guitar signed by Joe Bonamassa and Larry McRae. Kenny Wayne Shepherd signed logo stuff. And I'm trying to decide, you know, Big Dog Dave passed away.
Right.
And Ruth gave me a B.B. King signed record. I don't know if I'm going to put that in the auction or not. But
that's a hell of an auction already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, Larry McRae's playing along with Papa Kizka. Oh, your tickets include dinner and a lot of veterans and first responders. Tickets are only $15. Include dinner.
Wow.
And one of the cool things we put together, guys, is you have the ability to buy a veteran a drink. So when you go to the bar, you could buy a vet a drink or two drinks, and they can, you know, put their hand into a bowl, just get a drink ticket.
What's the occasion for this?
It's a Freedom Rally, and it's 9/11. It's the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Okay, I got it. Right. Okay.
All the proceeds are going to the Michigan Veterans Support Grant, and they pay for housing expenses if vets can't make their gas bills, and it's a great charity, and it all stays in Michigan, and all the dollars go directly to the vets.
Awesome.
Just let me say, as a veteran, I'm grateful, and I thank you for putting
this together.
Well,
show up. It's only $15.
We will. Okay.
That's very cool. That's a neat event.
We've got James Cook from the Record Eagle on the phone with us. James, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're probably not quite as good as TC Central is doing.
Yeah, they rang up 60 last night on Marquette. I heard that game just kind of lasted forever because both teams just kept scoring.
Did Marquette score?
Yeah, they scored. Yeah, it was.
They're like 20. They're like 28.
63-28
yeah,
was that the score?
Yeah,
that was down here, wasn't it?
It
yeah,
was. Yeah, Thurlby. Yep.
Yep. That was the first of three games this week at Thurlby.
Yeah, James. It sounds like you didn't go to the game yesterday.
I didn't go to the TC Central one, no. I went to Kingsley Glen Lake.
I heard that was Kingsley looked pretty good there.
Yeah, Kingsley just blew them out of the water. When you look at the rosters, Kingsley has way more players on varsity than Glen Lake does. But, Glen Lake's first three possessions were three and outs. Kingsley scored on all three, and it was kind of over from there. So it was kind of a surprise,
but
not really a surprise at the same point. This game has tended to be not close between these two teams. They go back and forth as to who wins, but whoever wins usually wins by a lot.
And, James, you guys mentioned it on your Get Around podcast this week about Glen Lake. I didn't realize that Coach Angers had he took over the Glen Lake team again, basically, because they didn't have a coach, and he's not going to be able to be there for some of the games because of prior commitments. So it's kind of like they got the head coach at the last minute, and he's an awesome coach, obviously, but it sounds like he took it because he wanted the kids to be able to play.
Yeah, he wanted to have that, I guess, provide that leadership and stability at the top, you know, that he's got the experience of being able to do and everything. But, he wasn't at the first game last week. And Gary Gala kind of coached the team when they won that one against Houghton. And then he's going to miss two more games, I guess, this year, because his son plays college football. And that's part of the reason why he stepped down a year ago, was that he wanted to be able to go see his son play college football. And so he's got a couple of dates where he's supposed to do that this year, and told him, I'm going to miss a couple of games.
James, who are you looking at tonight?
So, yep. What's that?
Who are you focused on today and tonight?
Oh, I'm going to the Traverse City West game at 1 o'clock. They're playing Grand Haven for the Coast Guard Cup at 1 o'clock. And then following that is Traverse City St. Francis against Grayling, which should be a good game.
Funny you should mention that. Yeah, we'll be broadcasting the 1 o'clock game between Traverse City West and Grand Haven on 106.3, and then the 7 o'clock game between Traverse City St. Francis and the Grayling Vikings will be on 100.3. So we've got everybody covered if they can't make it to Thoroughbred Field today and tonight.
Yeah, hopefully they're both good games. Traverse City West coming off that big win. Grayling and St. Francis each 1-0 coming into that game. So hopefully two good competitive games.
And then what do you got in the Get Around podcast coming up this weekend?
Well, we're probably going to have to kind of do it a little different. With the holiday, we'll probably have to do it on Tuesday. So
gotcha.
We'll kind of wait and see what happens in the football games this weekend and see who we want to get for the guests there.
Yeah.
We don't have anything set up. We do have some stories coming up for the weekend. Got one looking ahead to the Ironman in Frankfurt, and one guy and how he's training for this and the way he's dedicating everything to the, he's a veteran, so he's dedicating everything towards the military. So it kind of goes along with the thing that you led into this with the, then we've got a nice, interesting golf story coming out this weekend too, about a young, teenager around here who accomplished something in golf that, most professionals haven't. So that should be something interesting in Sunday's paper, too.
All right. That'll all be in the Traverse City Record Eagle. James, thanks for joining us. We'll be with you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, Rich, you and I will be sliding into our football forecast here in a minute. But as we said, football is in full swing, Keith.
Absolutely, and JC, let's remind people that FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new users with enhanced 30-1 odds for the first big college football game of the season. Pick either Georgia or Clemson to win, and you could turn a $5 bet into a $150 payday. I'm taking
Wisconsin.
I'm taking Clemson to beat Georgia.
Are you? Okay.
Really?
I took Georgia on that one, but sign up and make your first deposit to kick off the college football season on America's number one sports book. There's no better place to bet college football than FanDuel Sportsbook. They offer great promotions, easy to use, and you get paid in as little as 24 hours.
So make the most out of college football this week with enhanced 30-1 odds on Georgia versus Clemson. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WGRY so they know you sent you. That's promo code WGRY, 21 and over, and must be present in Michigan. For new users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit is required. The $150 is the max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. So, Keith, what have you got to finish up with us?
I got, sad to say, I got Northwestern winning against Michigan State this weekend by the spread, 24-21. And I like Michigan to cover easily 42-20 over Western Michigan.
Well, you thought that 17 points was too much. Now you've changed your tune.
You talked me into it, JC. You talked me into it.
And you like Clemson over Georgia?
I do. Yeah.
You think Miami's got any shot at all against Bama?
I don't. I think it could be. It'll be interesting. I think entertaining game, certainly the first quarter. But I think Bama just does Bama type things.
Just one thing for gambling. We know we're talking about FanDuel, and we also have a lot going on with Odawa, and I will be up there this weekend. You know, you can bet. You don't have to just bet final scores and point spreads,
right,
guys.
Right.
First half lines are really interesting. Think about if you'd had the first half for Minnesota.
Yeah.
If I'd taken the first half instead of the overall,
yeah,
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, Rich, first quarter, some of these games, it takes the big dogs like,
yeah,
Alabama, Ohio State a little ways to get going. And then a lot of times that's when they put the crush on and end up putting in the sports. So, you know, there's a lot of fun ways to be involved. And you don't, it doesn't matter the size of your bet,
no,
Keith.
No, that's right. And I think you hit on something really important. The prop bets is where you can really make some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In-game betting, that's what's so great about FanDuel. But there's something about being at Odawa and watching the games, having a drink. You know, if the game's not working out for you, slide over to the blackjack table. I was talking to Nick. He's got a big guy. I got a guy, a whale right now. He's up $80,000 at blackjack in the last 5 days.
Oh. Wow.
So you never know. And plus you can – Victories has got all those TVs. You got a betting kiosk in there. We're going to be doing a lot of cool things at Odawa in October. We're calling it Locktober.
Locktober.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it. Gabe's got to hit the road. And Rich and I are going to do our football forecast here on Up North Sports Radio. Thanks, Keith. And, of course, thanks to Odawa Casino for sponsoring
absolutely,
this program.
Absolutely. Have a good Labor Day weekend.
Keith.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Rich. So we already talked a little bit about James. We're going to get Harrison Beebe on here in a
right.
minute. We've got some really good games this weekend.
We really do. And JC, like we've already talked about a little bit, but we got to get started here. Like the 1 o'clock game, I'm going to be flying over to Traverse City here very soon. TC
yeah.
West taking on Grand Haven, and that'll be a great two afternoon games to start TC West. Season, and with those guys, the way they came back and that emotional win against Midland last week down at the Battle of the Big House, it'll be interesting to see how they respond. I know Coach Greg Vaughn would like to see some more consistency coming from that offense. It took a little while for them to get rolling, and man, did defensively and special teams wise, did they ever play a great second half. But
yeah. Harrison?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Harrison Beebe is joining us here on Up North Sports Radio. Harrison, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm great, fellas. How are you for this second straight Football Friday?
Well, you know, another crazy week. A ton of games yesterday. As a matter of fact, statewide, Harrison, looks like more teams played yesterday than are going to play today.
Well, and that seems to be the trend with the Labor Day weekend. A lot of those schools like to schedule their games on Thursdays to allow teams to kind of take one more long weekend with their families or whatnot before school gets started. But here up north, I noticed with our teams, it was pretty much half and half, if not more of the teams that I was kind of keying in on are playing tonight. So we kind of had a weird Northern Michigan shift to that strategy.
Well, and it doesn't get any weirder than the game that Rich has got to cover with Tom Devitt. He's going to have to fly out of here in a few minutes to do the 1 o'clock kickoff for the Titans versus Grand Haven.
Yeah.
That's right. The Coast Guard Cup up for grabs.
Yeah, and interesting, that Grand Haven, they're the Buccaneers. So don't see a lot of teams named Buccaneers up here. That's the first one in Michigan that I've noticed.
Well, as Harrison...
Yeah, as long as there's no Tom Brady on
right.
that team, I think West will be okay.
Do you know any of the history behind this Coast Guard Cup, Harrison?
Well, I know they've played each other in the past. Kenner's, you know, West started as a school, obviously, in the late 90s. I know they've played each other here and there in the past 20-some years, but it was about 5 years or so ago when after Traverse City was officially named a Coast Guard city. I don't quote me on this, but obviously Grand Haven is a Coast Guard city as well. I don't know if they were the first in the state to be appointed that, but then once Traverse City was given that title as well, and these two kind of talked about doing a non-conference series, they just said, hey, let's just set it up to see who's got the more Coast Guard swagger for the year, I guess. And West has done pretty well. I believe they've won 3 of the 4 games in the series, if memory serves me correct. So it's been kind of a good non-conference opponent for them so far.
So your coverage on 7-4 tonight, do you have a couple games that you're focused on?
Yeah, obviously the doubleheader at Thurlby is very intriguing. West and Grand Haven is just, both teams are 1-0, starting for that, looking for that 2-0 start to the season. And then the 7 o'clock game, I mean, St. Francis has owned Grayling in the past, but if you haven't seen Grayling start running back David Milliken in action, this kid can, really log up some mileage on the ground. And he's a big reason why Grayling made the state semifinals a year ago. Obviously St. Francis was in the finals, but, you know, outside of a Kingsley and opponent, maybe Sault Ste. Marie in the future, I think Grayling's looking like, the team that can give St. Francis the best chance. That's the 7 o'clock game at Thurlby Field. And I'll be heading up north. I'm going to check out the rivalry meeting in the leaders division of the NMFL when Charlevoix and Boyne City go at it. Charlevoix has won, I think, the last two meetings in that series. And Boyne City does not want to lose to the Raiders in anything. So now that they're officially in their division, they were in the higher division of the league last year. Now that Boyne City's in that division with Charlevoix, they want to start off with a big rivalry win and a go-ahead in the standings.
Yeah, that's a great matchup for sure, Harrison. You got that right. And also in the Big North, Escanaba, it takes on Petoskey, is another game in northern Michigan as well. And I'm not sure if that's played up at Escanaba or in Petoskey, Harrison.
I think that's at Northland Stadium, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we are very familiar with the Grayling Vikings. We've been broadcasting them on 100.3 since we own the radio stations. And David Milliken is indeed the real deal. We'll find out how much. And you can't really stack the box against them because Grayling's got a couple of pretty good wide receivers and a pretty good O-line. So it's going to be a really good football game.
Yeah, I've hyped up St. Francis and Grayling as being a premier game for years now, and it seems to disappoint a little more than you'd like, but I have a weird feeling that this year's is gonna be a little bit of a closer finish. I'm not predicting a Grayling win, but I feel like they've got their best chance to get that win, especially on the road here tonight.
I was fortunate to call the one win that Grayling has got it back in 2012, and that was a very exciting time. And in years prior to that, the 2 years prior to that, it was a one score. It was a 1 point game and a 3 point game. So they've battled good, and some of the scores right have been lopsided the past couple of years, but it's certainly been closer on the field than what the score indicated, as Grayling has had leads the last couple of years. But then that St. Francis train got rolling, and then Grayling couldn't stop them at that point. But I think this year, for sure, with the confidence that Grayling has after last year's late success, that they feel that they can compete with St. Francis, and let's see what happens on the field tonight.
Yeah, and Coach Eric Tunney's just been doing a great job with that Grayling program, getting them motivated to get back to the years when Tim Sanchez was doing a great job with them. And I'm blanking on the name of the coach before. I wasn't at 7-4 at the time. But, you know, obviously Grayling had some strong teams back in those days, and it appears that Coach Tunney is getting those guys to buy into that philosophy once again, which is great for Northern Michigan football as a whole.
Anything else you want to talk about before you head to the studio and start your day, Harrison?
You know, it really, did you guys touch on last night's games yet?
We haven't really. Go ahead.
You know, I was at Kingsley Glen Lake, and wow, I don't think anybody at that at Rhodes Field saw that result coming, a 48-0 Kingsley win. It was a rivalry game for those two. Salute to Service is a special themed event they've been doing the past several years, and Glen Lake has been a program that's made runs to the state finals twice in the past 5 years, and Kingsley's a team that's been knocking on the door of a state finals run here the last several. So we kind of pegged that one up as being a premier matchup, and whether you say Kingsley was just over the top impressive or Glen Lake didn't bring enough to the table, it was a very lopsided result, and I think caught a lot of people off guard. But you can't deny that Kingsley is now probably one of the marquee teams to look out for in Division Five across the entire state after a shutout like that.
Yeah, Tim Wooler does such a nice job there, Harrison, and he's won a state championship with Kingsley before he went to West, and now back at Kingsley. So, yeah, they're in good hands with Tim Wooler.
Yeah, they're in good hands, and they can do no wrong. They get down the field no problem, and Glen Lake offense that the week before, I think, at least beat Houghton Lake by about 30 points or so, was shut out, and I was there the first half. They couldn't do anything on offense. The biggest play I got from them was a kickoff return to about midfield, but even then, I think they went 3 or 4 drives in a row, 3 and out. So, both sides of the Kingsley, system are working as strong as ever here for just week two.
And obviously a very impressive bounce back by TC Central. Not exactly sure how great Marquette is, but they usually have a really stout defense, and obviously Central's offensive line had a great deal of success against that Marquette team.
Well, Marquette's got a great quarterback. I caught the second half of that game, and that guy's a playmaker. He, you know, even down several scores, he's going to go out there and find his man. And they had some receivers that were, you know, despite the 5-6 hour bus ride, whatever it was, they weren't discouraged. They were going down there to start 2-0, and the Trojans obviously did not want to start 0-2. And I think you could see that in the end with them putting up 60. But I think they got a little bit of a scare early that this wasn't going to be an easy win like they were hoping for, maybe compared to years past against Marquette. But either way you slice it, you know, Central's 1-1, and they'll go into conference play next week, I believe, with Gaylord at home. So, and the Blue Devils got a win last night as well. So we'll see how those two line up to open the conference for them.
Yeah, kind of a surprising win for Gaylord. I thought that, I, from our understanding, that Saginaw team is now a combined team. At least that's what I had heard. So you would have figured that Arthur Hill / Saginaw High would be a pretty good football squad.
You would think, and for all we know, I'm sure it was a tough challenge, especially on the road, but Gaylord's probably putting the right pieces in place. They have a new head coach, DJ Shimoniak, that's taken over the program now, so it was good to see them get their first win under him, and maybe that's the momentum they can build with. You know, a lot of changes in the Big North. Petoskey has their new head coach as well. So maybe this is the start of that resurrection for some of those programs to get back to places they'd like to be.
I think Gaylord's going to need some mojo against Central next week, so we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to put that in the Grayling St. Francis category, but
yeah.
You'd obviously rather enter that game with a win than an 0-2 start. So it's good for Gaylord to get that win, no matter what caliber of opponent they were playing down there. Since, yeah, we don't scout them too much up here, but obviously a good win to get downstate.
So make sure you check out Harrison and all their great local coverage of high school sports on 7 and 4. Harrison, thanks a lot. We'll be with you again next week.
Sounds good. Take care, fellas.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Rich, I know you've got a motor, but there's a couple things you want to touch on before you head to Third
B
Field.
Real quick, Cadillac won again last night. They played Fruitport. Remember that we were talking about that last week. They won 28-12. Sheboygan beat Alpena 28-18. We talked about Central, and then the other games, of course, in the Big North this week. Again, Escanaba, Petoskey, and, of course, the game I'm going over to, Grand Haven at TC West at Thurlby Field.
All right, so join Rich and Tom Devitt on 106.3 FM at a 1 o'clock kickoff for Central and Grand Haven, the battle for the Coast Guard Cup.
That's right.
Yep, and we want to thank Bill Marsh and Bayview Insurance. Jimmy John's is now a new sponsor of our games over there, and, of course, our good friends at Fox Motors.
Right. We've got some great partnerships lined up and really excited about them, JC.
All right. Go get them, Rich. And Rich and I will be here, primarily Rich. I'll just be dialing the phones for the coaches. At 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we will have our Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. So if you want to get caught up on all the scores, hear some great interviews with local coaches, that's all right here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning on Up North Sports Radio. Again, thanks to all our fine partners, including Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. If you want to catch me in the cage, I'll be there for some football games tomorrow after Rich and I sign off. So thanks again for all of you listening here on Friday Face Off in the football preview.